number 11 is the law of the inner circle. A leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. I can remember when I learned that law. I was 40 years of age. I was doing some kind of midlife reflection, a little bit discouraged because I felt that I wasn't making the progress I would like to as a leader. And so after a few days of kind of inner soul searching, I came to the conclusion that although I worked hard and I was disciplined and although I had my priorities straight in my life, I had not spent time with those people on my team, my inner circle, those that were closest to me, developing them. At age 40, that's 20 years ago, I made a commitment. It's the best business decision I ever made in my life, that I would spend more time, more energy, more money. I would give my very best to my inner circle and develop them, because I realized that my success or my failures would be directly linked to how well they did. Now that I'm 60, I can tell you, best business decision I've ever made in my life. Things are multiplying, not because I'm doing that much better or doing that much more, but because my inner circle, they're making a difference in my life. And that's what this law is all about.
This is episode 35 of Teaching, Learning, Leading, K12.com. And today we're talking about the law of the inner circle. John Maxwell is one of my favorite gurus of leadership. What? You've not heard of him?
What did you say?
Or maybe you've heard of him, but you have never really read anything by him. Well, you need to stop and quickly change that. I strongly recommend any of his books, but my favorites are, number one, The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership, number two, Failing Forward, number three, The 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork, number four, Winning with People, and number five, Thinking for a Change. Today's show is going to focus on comments from The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and The 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork. More precisely, the law of the inner circle and developing your team members. As John says, a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. Think about that. He says a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. So join us now as we look at this law and thoughts about teamwork and the importance of building those around you. Hey, remember, Teaching, Learning, Leading, K-12 is about bringing you information and ideas to help you become a better teacher and school leader. I hope that you will share this with your friends and colleagues and family members. And it would be awesome, oh, so very awesome, if you took time to visit us on iTunes or Stitcher and left us a star rating and a comment. And oh, I would just love it if you subscribed to us. The more comments and ratings a podcast has, the easier it is to be found. After listening today, I challenge you to put these thoughts into action. Look at your organization. Do you have an inner circle? Do you support them? Does someone not need to be on that team? I'm so thankful that you join me here week after week. I hope you have an awesome day and enjoy the show.
Welcome to the Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12 podcast, bringing you ideas and resources for K-12 classrooms, schools, and school districts. Hosted by Steve Mileto. And now, here's Steve with this week's show.
Some of my fondest memories center around what John Maxwell calls my inner circle. I was a high school principal for a long time in different settings, in different schools. And I set about in schools to help change happen. That's what my goal was in those different places. And each one had a different story. But in order to be successful, I had to have an inner circle. I had to have that group, that close-knit team that at least worked at becoming close-knit to help us help the teachers, help the kids achieve their dreams. Now that sounds trite, or it just sounds Disney-esque, which is okay. I like that idea. We want to help them achieve their dreams. But that's so difficult because you have so many different kids in your building with different baggage and such. Well, the leader has to have, as their vision casting, as he or she is vision casting, the leader has to have that group that comes together that helps the leader achieve that vision, that helps drive the organization towards achieving the mission, that helps the whole organization come together in a cohesive way to help the children succeed. That's no easy task. And I got to tell you, I've been around leaders in schools who didn't understand this. They thought, they'd say things like, we don't need to meet. I'm not going to waste their time. They got their job descriptions. They know what they need to do, and I let them do their thing. Wow, that's a mistake. Because in order to develop that inner circle, you've got to develop relationships with them. You've got to work with them. You've got to interact with them. You've got to laugh together. You've got to play together. You've got to cry together. And I sound like I'm getting ready to sing a 60s song, but it's so true. John Maxwell says that when you have the right staff, your potential skyrockets. He also says a leader's potential is determined by those closest to him. And I got to tell you, I've experienced that because believe me, I've had some teams that didn't work well together and I've had others who came together who could achieve the moon. Behind closed doors, that same team that was so awesome, they could argue together, they could make each other mad, and in the end, they would come together and focus on what needed to be done and set about getting it done. Wow, those were great days. But it's not just fond memories that I have, because I do have memories of the arguments, of sitting a couple team members down and saying, I need the two of you to get along. What's the problem, man? Talk to each other. I've had some who didn't belong on the team and had encouraged them to leave. One of the issues that I've run into, and I'm sure if you're a high school principal or a principal in any school setting or a leader in any organization, is that you've run into people from above who want to put people on your team or want to have a hand in choosing who are on that team. That's a big no-no, because what you need is you need to be able to surround yourself with those right people that fit with you. Someone else can't do that. Just like those people who are thinking about being on your team, they've got to choose you. They need to have a hand in it because they need to be able to work with you. And that comes out in those initial interactions. The inner circle is that group that comes together for the good of the organization. And they spend so much time focused on putting plans in place, on helping bigger groups and creating other teams and addressing those needs and weaknesses of the whole organization. They're the ones who are the go-getters who help drive the change. On my teams, I've had all kinds of different staff members there, primarily my assistant principals, lead counselor, a social worker, athletic director, grad coach, assistant grad coaches. And one of the things that I would talk about is that the first time we would come together, I would say, I need you all to understand something, that we've got to spend time together. We've got to play together. We've got to work together. And ultimately, I need you to start walking my talk. And so I need you to learn what that is. When the doors are closed, I would say, when the doors are closed, we can argue all we want to and try and figure out how to come to consensus. I'm a big fan of Patrick Lencioni's Five Dysfunctions of a Team. And I used to buy that book for all my team members, and we would revisit it throughout the year and so forth and so on. When we added a new member, we would go back and revisit it again. If we didn't add a new member, we would revisit it. The point is that I wanted to make sure that they started developing trust and they understood those dysfunctions, because you can't have a team that doesn't trust each other. Well, where does that come from? It doesn't just come automatically. It comes from interacting with one another. You know, one of the things that I used to do is I tried to come up with some goofy ways of helping that inner circle get better at working together. And one of the ways was they learned how to play soccer. We'd do small-sided soccer, and we'd come together and play. That was a lot of fun. Of course, you know, what the point was that in soccer, you don't score unless you work together. And then you also have to think about if the leader is the goalie, you're trying to defend the goalie and help keep, you know, the ne'er-do-wells away so that he or she can do what they do so well in leading the organization. Do other things, like build a float for homecoming. There's nothing like working together. I had a friend who had slot car track in his basement, and he let us come over and race against each other. Now, not bragging, I won a couple of those races. I also wonder if they let me win a couple times. But we laughed, we had fun, we got frustrated with each other, and we always kept it behind those doors. And what's funny is that, you know, I used to tell them that I need them to understand something, that if I know that they have a problem with each other, I'm going to bring it up if they don't address it. Because we can't have that like a cancer eating away at us. The inner circle has to become cohesive. Doesn't mean they love each other. They can argue and they can bicker and they can fight, but it needs to stay inside the room. I'm a huge fan of the thoughts behind the Three Musketeers, the idea all for one and one for all. And I used to bring out my very old version of that book, printed in 1918, and bring out a candle, and we'd watch a little film clip from the Disney version of the Three Musketeers, the little scene where they're being recognized for their heroism. And they bring their swords together, and they say, all for one and one for all. You know, the problem with that in most organizations is that we don't spend time together. We don't develop our inner circle. We don't spend time working, laughing, breathing together. And so all for one and one for all doesn't happen. One of the things I used to have a discussion with him about is simply this. You know, if you leave this room where we're meeting and you go out there and you start complaining to anyone who will listen about that ogre, the leader, then it's going to get back to me. And that just means that you're not someone who can be trusted on the inner circle, because you can't say it. You can't say it to my face. You can't, in the meeting, say, I disagree with something you're doing. Instead, you want to find an audience outside. That's no good. That'll destroy a team. And so in Maxwell's 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork, he mentions that some people don't belong on the team. He says that, you know, you can make mistakes by, you know, assuming that someone's a good fit and then having them show you that they're not, that you truly made a mistake. I've made those mistakes. I don't know about you, but oh my goodness, I have made them. They have hurt the team. They have made it dysfunctional. They've made the group not want to come together again. And I've had to suck it up and admit that I made a mistake and sit down with the person and say, I think you need to go somewhere else. You know, one of the things I do, I'm big into the idea of creating some sort of ritual and routines around coming together as a team. I like to have little mementos that they can give each other to recognize when they're being a great team member or when they're just so good at achieving. For example, you know, with that all for one, one for all, the idea of the Three Musketeers, one of the things that I did was I bought little fleur-de-lis, little pins. And I put them in a box. Remember, I like rituals and routines. Light the candles, man. But I wanted to make it special with the idea that when we met, they could recognize their teammate for being an extra awesome teammate. And they could give them a fleur-de-lis. And with it would come a certificate from me where the words that they said, that teammate said, those good words about their teammate being an exceptional teammate and why, were on that certificate and given to them with a fleur-de-lis. And I encouraged them to put them on, to wear these. Put them someplace where they could see them, show them off. In our school systems, we had to wear ID badges, so many of them would put them on the lanyards and on the ID badge itself. You know, a little down the road, I came up with an idea of, well, how about not just as team members, how about we also celebrate taking care of business? The idea of getting results, being good at making things happen. Well, I'm a big Elvis fan, and Elvis called his band later in his career, he called his band taking care of business with a flash. And he had this whole philosophy that if they don't take care of business in a flash, that they'll fail, the fans won't have fun, the fans won't enjoy their music, and they'll lose any connection with their fandom. And so he said we had to take care of business in a flash. And he had that lightning bolt as a symbol. Remember, he called his band TCB, and you'd have that TCB with the lightning bolt. Well, I'm not going to borrow the whole thing, but I did borrow the lightning bolt. And the idea was that now they could give fleur-de-lis for awesome teamwork, for being there for them, for being all for one and one for all. Or they could also give a lightning bolt for getting results, for getting the job done, for taking care of business in a flash. Do you do anything like that? Do you do anything to help connect your people? We would spend time playing. When I say playing, we played. When we would come together in the summer, we spent some time learning about each other, reading Lencioni's book or some Maxwell Words of Wisdom. And we also learned how to play small-sided soccer, laughing, having fun together. But the great thing was that we were spending time together and we were connecting with one another. Those people who didn't connect on the team didn't like doing those things and eventually would leave, or they would have, we'd have to have the long conversation about, the tough conversation about, I don't think you belong here. You know, one of the things that went with those pins is I have these two boxes, and I would have the team members sign the outside of the box. And the idea is that, here's that ritual again, those ideas of the idea that, it's a big deal to me. Let's sign the box saying that you understand that the fleur-de-lis is about all for one and one for all, and the lightning bolt is all about taking care of business, getting results. And so when I talked a minute ago about sometimes you make a mistake and there are people who don't belong on that team, in that inner circle, then you have to acknowledge that. And, hopefully you don't think this is petty, but, those signatures on the box, there are actually a couple that I've scribbled out because they didn't understand what it meant and they needed to leave, and they did eventually. And so they're removed from the box. Okay, so some of you right now are going, okay, this dude is really weird. I got to tell you something. It helps bring people together. So let's talk a little bit more about this. That inner circle is that group that's going to help you get things done. And John Maxwell says, when you're trying to find this stuff, the right people for this group, you want to hire the best staff you can find. You want to develop them as much as you can. And he says, and then hand off everything you possibly can to them. Think about those words. He says, hire the best staff you can find. Now notice he says, you need to hire the best staff, not somebody from outside, not somebody who's not going to be working with that group. And he says you need to develop them as much as you can, which means that you provide them support. You find out what extra training they need, what extra stuff they need to learn, whatever it might be, and you help them get that. And then you hand off everything you possibly can to them, which means you let them do what you hired them to do. Your inner circle, the people that you're hiring, you got to think about this. When you're creating this type of team, they shouldn't be clones of you. Oh my gosh, no. I'm a very global person. If you've ever done colors, I'm blue and orange. I'm adventuresome, and I also have my emotions up there on my shoulder. I'm willing to take risks, and I need gold people around me, green people around me. I need I dotters and T crossers to help me make sure that I take care of all those fine details, because I tend to be just so worldly and global. So I don't want to surround myself with people like me. We'd never get anything actually done. We'd never get any paperwork turned in. Yeah, we might have a lot of fun, but we'd probably never achieve anything. With those people, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for people who bring special values to the team. I'm looking for those doers, people who are hungry because they want to be a leader one day. They want to be the leader of the organization. They want to move on. They don't want to stay in one place. They don't want to be sedentary. They're ready to go out there and take on the world. They need your help in getting there. And so I'm looking for people who have that hunger in them. I'm looking for people who can be trusted, who want to be part of a team. I'm looking for those people who understand that they need to be self-starters, that they don't want anyone hovering over their shoulder. They want to be said, you know, to be given their job description and let go to go achieve it. I used to tell people, I was asked one time by someone who I consider one of my mentors. I was asked by him the first time I met him in an interview. He said, tell me about the type of principal you would like me to be. Nobody had ever asked me that question before. Well, I thought for a second, and then I looked at him and I said, you know, what I want is someone who will give me my job description and then say, let me know if you need any help, and then we'll get out of my way and let me do my job. Because I'm a go-getter. I'm going to go out there. Doesn't mean that I'm not going to have questions and need help. I don't want you to totally ignore me. But I want you to let me do my job. And I've always lived that way with my teams. And hopefully they've seen that. Because what I always believed is that, here you go. Here's your job description. I expect you to go out there and start working at it. If you got questions, come back to me. I'm happy to help. I'm happy to give you that extra support. If you get in trouble and you start drowning, don't hide it. Come back. I'm happy to help you there too, but I'm not going to micromanage you. That's why I put together the circle in the first place, was to bring people in who had specific characteristics about being go-getters, who were hungry for doing and saw the future as a leadership position. I want people who think about achieving results, who are not happy with just good. They want fantastic. You thought I was going to say great, didn't you? I'm not going to say that. They don't want just great. They want fantastic. They want the most awesomest word that ever existed. Okay, all you English teachers are getting upset at me right now. Sorry. But, you know, they want more. And so they're not satisfied. That's who you want on that inner circle. You want somebody who also helps build you up. They need to be able to come together and support one another when things get tough. Something doesn't work out quite right. You want that team to come together and support one another. To say, come on, you can do it. How can I help you? I know it's being tough. And I'm not talking about somebody who sucks up. I'm not talking about, you know, for those of you who are old enough to understand this reference, you know, the Eddie Haskells of the world. We're not looking for, gee, Mrs. Cleaver. No. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, go watch an old rerun of Leave It to Beaver. You don't want people who suck up. That's not my point. Because you want the ones that are going to disagree with you from time to time behind those closed doors. No, what you want is you want people who recognize that you do need building up, that you need that extra push once in a while. You got to have this group that understands that the more cohesive we become, the better we achieve results. Now, I got to tell you, going back to this idea of having broken people on the team, it comes down to having to confront it. Because if you don't try and address what their weaknesses are and try and help them first, and then if they still are not willing and they aren't a good fit, that you coach them off the team, it's a huge mistake if you know that somebody's broken and they're having lots of problems, they're not being able to do what they should be able to do, and you put them on a team. Because what's going to happen is it's going to put a wedge in the team. Team members are going to feel like they're, you know, they're the ones picking up the slack of the person who doesn't give their all. They're going to bicker over that. And they're going to look at the leader as being weak, because if the leader does not spend time addressing the broken team member, then the team itself is broken. And that's not a good lesson for the team members, because what the lesson they're going to learn is that I can work very hard and that person can do nothing, and they get the same kudos and they get the same paycheck and they get to, you know, they get to reap the rewards that I'm actually creating. That creates a huge wedge in a team. You got to address, as John calls it, the weak links. You can't have weak links in your inner circle. Now, I got to tell you once again, that inner circle is not just bringing a group together and saying, here's your job descriptions, go about it. You create an inner circle when you select the right people, the ones who understand the commitment that it takes to actually achieve results. You want the people who are so hungry that they understand that you can't just do your job from 7 to 3 or 7 to 5. I don't know if any of you work 9 to 3. That sometimes you got to come in on the weekend. Sometimes you got to stay late until midnight. Sometimes you got to come in during the summer, even though you're not on contract, so you can take care of business. In high schools, oftentimes they're notorious for the first day of school having, you know, over 100 kids sitting in the cafeteria because they don't have a schedule. Well, if you have a good inner circle, they're going to work together and come together during the summer so that doesn't happen. So that the only ones that might not have a schedule are those who are just coming to school for the first time, who've just moved to the area. You don't accomplish much if you think that I only have these set hours in which I can work. You want people on your inner circle who recognize that. Remember, like John says, no weak links. I got to tell you, it's when you work on developing this inner circle, it becomes that support mechanism for you. It becomes that group that understands that together we succeed. And I know I'm probably starting to sound like a poster for joining the army or something, or Army Strong, or you know, remember the commercials that, hey, good morning, First Sergeant. We get more done by 9 a.m. than most people do. And most people haven't even gotten up, however that commercial went. Sorry, that's the only commercial. That's I thought I remembered it. You know, the point is here is simply this, is that the inner circle is important to the organization. The inner circle and the leader have to develop a relationship. Otherwise, it doesn't become an inner circle. They have to be a group of people who recognize that together they succeed, apart they fail. They have to be go-getters. They have to be people who have this inner drive to get things done. And they have to be willing to keep their disagreements in the room together. They have to be willing to say, hey, I disagree with you, or hey, you made me mad the other day. It all has to happen in that meeting room. It has to be behind closed doors, not out in public. It has to be where it can be, where they can talk together and come to a conclusion to it and bring it to an end so that it doesn't eat away at them, thus becoming a weak link in the chain of strength, which weakens the strength of the chain and ultimately makes that inner circle crumble. No matter whatever the organization is that you're part of, you've got to spend time being purposeful about creating an inner circle. If you're going to be a successful leader in an organization, you have to have that group that's going to come together and walk your talk, put in place those activities, those programs that are going to help the organization achieve its mission. You can't just do it by saying it. They have to come together. You have to have a hand in selecting who is on that team, and then you have to bring them together and spend time together. You have to find ways of them to play together and laugh together. And most of all, they have to be part of the decision-making. And above all else, as the leader, you have to not micromanage them. You have to allow them to do what you hired them to do. Is that so hard? John Maxwell is an amazing writer. He is a leadership guru of all leadership gurus. I strongly encourage you to check out his 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership and his 17 Indisputable Laws of Teamwork, because you're going to find, if you're going to be that building leader, if you're going to be that organization's leader, you need to have some idea about what it is you're trying to do. And you can't achieve success by yourself. You have to have others to help you. You can't do everything. And that's where that inner circle comes in. That group, that cohesive group that plays, cries, acts, works, laughs, eats, meets together. So I hope that in listening to this today that you get a couple things right off the bat. Number one, you need to check out some John Maxwell books. I also encourage you to check out Lencioni's 5 Dysfunctions of a Team so you understand a little bit about the pitfalls that are waiting for you. But I challenge you to look at yourself critically and say, have I really created an inner circle, or am I just pretending? Do I have people who will come together to walk the talk, drive on to achieve the mission and the vision, to help push the organization towards success? Have I found people who are focused on doing, who are focused on achieving, who are focused on being part of a team that comes together, and even though they may disagree, they might argue, they might bicker, it all happens behind the door in the team room and not outside. A group of people who are the leader's inner circle, who he supports or she supports with building them up, giving them opportunities, giving them training, and then building them up to other people so that they can see that here's a potential building leader. When they come together as a cohesive unit, they will achieve amazing results. Stop and look at your inner circle. Is it real? And what can you do to make it real if it's not? Thanks for listening. Have an awesome day.
Hello, listeners. We want to remind everyone to check out all of our digital content at teachinglearningleadingk12.com. That's teachinglearningleadingk12.com. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.com. Just search Teaching Learning Leading K-12 in the iTunes Store or at Stitcher.com. Check back often for updates and new material.
You have been listening to Teaching, Learning, Leading K-12, recorded in Eastman, Georgia, at the Heart of Georgia Precinct.